Early, are we? Well, are we a minute early? Let's begin, shall we? This has got to be a record for us starting early. Listen, lovely to see you. Very good morning. Welcome to St. Phil Road Presbyterian, especially if you're visiting with us or you're new with us or you're joining us online. In case you've missed out the last week or two, I'm Ben Walker. I'm the minister here. I have been away. It turns out 2 weeks ago, that football didn't come home quite. But I've been in holiday in England and I have come home. So it's great to be back. I'm really grateful for David Timothy, who was leading the service last week, for doing that. And for Alistair, who's been looking after things while I've been away. And Ian Hart, who's been looking after some of our pastoral care. But this morning I want to begin by asking you a question. What's the story? What's the story? Now, you could maybe answer that with the ending of an Oasis song album title, or you could end that, if you're in a kind of niche parenting capacity, of What's the Story in Malamori. Maybe you remember that. But what I really want to know is, what's the story for you this week, or this weekend, or even this morning? What's the story shaping your life at the moment? Some of us have good stories at the moment, maybe good stories about a holiday we've been on, or an achievement, or having caught up with people, or something we're about to get engaged in doing, or a good result that we've had. Maybe there's some good stories we have shaping our lives at the moment. Maybe other stories are shaping your life at the moment. A difficult relationship, maybe. Work pressure, disappointing results, a sadness. As a church family, we want to remember the family of Jack Crompton, one of our members who died last Sunday. And there was a service of thanksgiving here that Ian Hart led on Thursday past. We pray for his wife, Jean, and his sons and his family and grandchildren, as they recount stories of Jack, but get used to a new chapter without him. Nigel's going to pray for them later on. But maybe we're shaped by the story of what's coming up this week and these days. Perhaps you're involved in CSSM. CSSM Newton Breeder begins tomorrow here and around Newton Breeder. Amy, is there anything I should say about that and let people know? There's still spaces left. You can sign up on the Newton Breeder CSSM Facebook page. Can they come along, or they've got to sign up first? Sign up first, but do be excited and praying for all that's happening here in the mornings and the evenings and elsewhere around Newton Breeder, in Breeder Academy and in Knock Breeder. Great, I knew all those details. It's all happening this week. Be praying for it, be excited about it, sign up, take your children along. Tonight there's going to be a commissioning service for all the team here. It's just for the team, it's going to be here, but you can join it and be part of that online. So do go to our YouTube page and join in with that online tonight and the team as we pray for them and commission them for this exciting week. Maybe there are stories from our lives that we're telling everyone at the moment. What's the story you're going to share with everyone when you step out in the sunshine or out into the garden after the service? Let me tell you about this. Maybe there are stories that are deeper and more personal for us. Maybe too deep for us to want to share. What's the story that's shaping your life and the way you feel at the moment? The thing is, we come to church, we gather with our stories, we bring them with us. We come with lots of them going on, lots of them shaping life, lots of things going on in the world and in the news that shape life. And when we come, we don't naively leave them at the door or down the side of the sofa as we get on with church. They remain stories of ours as we come here. But we've come to remember that however much we're caught up in immediate stories of life, there is a much bigger story for us to recall. A bigger story we have to tell that shapes our lives above everything else. We're thinking across this summer about Psalms, songs in the key of life, we've called them. And today's is Psalm 107. And it begins like this. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands, from east and west, from north and south. The psalmist calls us as God's people across the world to tell out our stories of God's redeeming love, our stories of the goodness of God in our lives, to let what God has done in Christ for us be what shapes, above all, the way we think, be what stirs our hearts, be what comes out of our mouths. So as we come to worship and tell this story and hear this story and be shaped by the story again, let's pray together. Let's pray. Lord of history, we know that 1,000 years are just a day in your sight. And yet in this moment, we know that you are with us, right with us, and we come as your people. We gather from and we gather in our different places. Lord, we come with our stories of what's going on in our lives, but we come to be caught up again in the glory of the greatest story ever told. We come with many different and often unhelpful stories and influences shaping the way we think and stirring our hearts. Lord, we come and we confess that what's at times come out of our mouths and what's moved us to action has not always been your story of truth and love and grace. But we come to receive your forgiveness and to be reshaped by you. Lord, be at work in us as we sing our songs, as we hear your words, as we speak with you. Refresh us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to stand and sing together a couple of songs of praise. I stand in the maze of the presence, and the Lord is my salvation. I stand or remain seated as you will as we praise God together.
Thank you.
Let's pray again. Father God, we love to worship you and your Son, Jesus Christ, and your Spirit in us. Lord, we love to sing of your praise, even behind masks and at home and separate from one another, slightly still. We take joy in being able to sing together that you, Lord, are our salvation. Father, we pray that by your Spirit, even in our singing, in our time together, you would be shaping and reshaping our hearts and our minds to take joy in that salvation once again and be renewed in you. And as we open up your word, as we dwell on this song, this psalm of yours, Lord, speak to us of great stories of what you have done and of what you are doing and of what you will do in our lives. Speak to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, whatever stories you and I have to tell of what's going on at the moment, and maybe singing songs of praise helps us to reflect again on that greatest story ever told that makes all the difference. But whatever stories we have, the writer of Psalm 107 has pulled together a number of stories that he has heard of God's redeeming love in people's different situations. Now, maybe these stories that he's brought together, maybe they came from the time of exile, that time when God's people, having turned from God and having made a mess of living for him, were taken away from the promised land of Israel and taken into the Babylonian land and lived in captivity there. But then actually, after a time, by God's grace, they were able to come back and live in Israel years later. Maybe these are songs of some of that experience. Or maybe these stories are more general than that, and they speak of the experience of God's people everywhere. Songs in the key of life. Well, there are four stories that the psalmist tells in this song between verses 4 and 32. And Ruth's going to come up and read each one to us. So I don't know if you've got a Bible there or some kind of device handy. You might find that helpful. Psalm 107 from verse 4. And Ruth's going to read each one at a time, and then I'm just going to briefly reflect on each one. But what I want you to do is listen to the way in which the story is told, the similar structure, some of the repeated phrases in each of the four stories. Each time you're going to hear people call out to God in their distress. Each time God is going to deliver them. And each time the psalmist encourages them to give thanks for what God has done, for his unfailing love. Ruth, verses 4 to 9.
Some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men, for he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things.
So there's a story of God's redeeming love that brings the lost home. So some of God's people had been wandering and found themselves far, far from home. They were restless, they were lost. They had no clue of where they were heading. They were feeling hungry and thirsty and empty. Maybe you know something of that experience. Maybe you have a story to tell of feeling lost and hungry and far from home. But they cried out to God. And he delivered them. He led them to security, to a home, to a place and a city filled with good things.
And verses 10 through to 16. Some sat in darkness and the deepest gloom. Prisoners suffering in iron chains, for they had rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. So he subjected them to bitter labor. They stumbled, and there was no one to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the deepest gloom and broke away their chains. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men, for he breaks down gates of bronze and cuts through bars of iron.
So the second story is about people who had found themselves chained up, imprisoned in the darkness, and to be honest, through no one's fault but their own. People who had done wrong, rebelled against God's ways, and they were discovering the consequences of doing that. There they were, trapped in a dark, hard, lonely, seemingly hopeless situation, and no one else ultimately to blame. But not hopeless. Because when they called out to God, even though they had no other hope and had no one else to blame, when they called out to God in his mercy, he saved them. He cut through the bars that seemed unbreakable to them, tore off their chains and set them free back into the light.
Moving on to verses 17 through to 22. Some became fools through their rebellious ways and suffered affliction because of their iniquities. They loathed all food and drew near the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He sent forth his word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. Let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell of his works with songs of joy.
So here's another story of God's love redeeming and making whole and healing damaged people. It's a story of people who maybe have been foolish, maybe got themselves into a bit of a mess, maybe were suffering, probably because of bad choices they've made, ended up feeling damaged, despairing, feeling their lives slipping away. But they called out to God, and he delivered. He pulled them back from the brink. He brought them healing and wholeness that they couldn't otherwise have imagined.
And verse 23 to 32. Others went out on the sea in ships. They were merchants on the mighty waters. They saw the works of the Lord, his wonderful deeds in the deep. For he spoke and stirred up a tempest that lifted high the waves. They mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunken men. They were at their wits' end. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm, and he guided them to their desired haven. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. Let them exalt him in the assembly of the people and praise him in the council of the elders.
So that final story tells of people sailing out, boldly going out to make money on the seas. But it doesn't go as they planned, and they meet a huge storm. Maybe you've got a boating experience story to tell. Their boldness left them. The waves went up and down. They were at their wits' end. What are they going to do? They called out to the Lord, and he brought them out of their distress. He completely calmed the storm to a whisper and brought them safe to shore. Here we've got four great stories of God's redeeming love, of people caught up in their immediate story, what's going on for them, what's happening around them. Maybe their lostness, their captivity, their affliction, the great storm they're facing. But calling out to God and finding he delivers on his bigger story of lasting, redeeming, saving love. They're stories, aren't they, that speak of the greatest story of God's redeeming love for people everywhere in Jesus Christ. I was thinking of what this looks like and maybe stories we tell or songs we sing that fit in with these stories. So we know, actually, that we are lost and helpless when we've turned away from God. But we sing with Jesus, "When I was lost, you came and rescued me." We were captive to sin, our rebellious ways, our wrong desires, living in darkness. But with Jesus we sing, "And can it be, my chains fell off, my heart was free, I rose, went forth and followed thee." We're damaged and broken by our godless choices. But with Jesus we sing of the restorer of our souls, who brings wholeness and life to the full. We understand what it's like for life to be all at sea, battered by life's storms. But we sing that we're my lighthouse, the one who brings us safe to shore, the Lord of sea and sky, who hears his people's cry. In all these different stories of life experience, the psalmist reminds us of the one greatest story of God. His unfailing love for all who call upon his name. The Lord is our salvation, as we've sung. And as he concludes the psalm, he says that whatever the moment, whatever the story we live in God's story. All history is his story. Let's hear the end of the psalm.
He turned rivers into a desert, flowing springs into thirsty ground, and fruitful land into a salt water, because of the wickedness of those who lived there. He turned the desert into pools of water, and the parched ground into flowing streams, springs. There he brought the hungry to live, and they founded a city where they could settle. They sowed fields and planted vineyards, and yielded a fruitful harvest. He blessed them, and their numbers greatly increased, and he did not let their herds diminish. Then their numbers did decrease, and they were humbled by oppression, calamity, and sorrow. He pours contempt on nobles, made them wander in a trackless waste, but he lifted the needy out of their affliction and increased their families like flocks. The upright see and rejoice, but all the wicked shut their mouths. Whoever is wise, let him heed these things and consider the great love of the Lord.
Thank you. Whatever the story of the moment for us, good, bad, or ugly, God is sovereign over us. Sovereign over all things. God is the author of the big story of history. So everything happens at his mercy and direction. He's always present and things are never out of his control. So whatever other story of life seems to be dominating our lives or even our society, whether that's injustice or calamity or sickness, God is sovereign. What he has said and done and is doing, his truth, his justice, his hope, is the story to put our faith in. And whatever the story of the moment, Jesus is mighty to save. We sing that, don't we? Where things are not great, where life seems to be up and down, where we seem to be in a fruitless valley, as the psalm describes, maybe where we feel sorrow or poverty or oppression in some way, the big story is that Jesus is mighty to save. The God of compassion hears those who call to him and loves and delivers for those who look to him. Time and again, these stories show how God delivers. And maybe not immediately, but we know our ultimate future is a time when this wickedness will all be silenced, a time of lasting wholeness and fruitfulness and blessing and rejoicing. So whatever the story of the moment, the psalmist ends with this: let all who are wise heed these things and ponder the loving deeds of the Lord. There are a number of ways we can respond to this psalm, but I want us just to do for a few minutes personally, and then we'll come back to some wider thoughts. Some of us may be trapped in a real life story in which we feel a bit lost, or trapped, or dragged down. Maybe it's even of our own making. Maybe we feel all at sea. Now is a moment. Right now is a moment. Rather than let it go further and deeper, to call out to the Lord who hears and answers, who is sovereign, who is mighty to save, and in faith, see what he might do. Some of us may be a bit consumed at the moment by a more immediate story that's absorbing our lives. And here's a moment again right now to step back and be reminded that whatever that is of the moment, it's actually held in the bigger story of God. What he has done, what he is doing. Here's a time to say to our immediate consuming story, this isn't it. To step back and put things in a Christ-centered perspective. And maybe for some of us, this is a moment simply to thank God for a significant or a recent story of how he has been good and shown his redeeming, gracious love in our lives. The psalmist says again and again, let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love. The moments you recall, things that have happened where you say, God, thank you for doing that. Thank you for bringing that about. So there's going to be a space here just to be quiet for a couple of minutes and whatever sounds we all make together, but just to have a couple of moments of reflection, to ponder these things, as the psalmist says, to call on the Lord, maybe, to ask him to put your story into perspective, to give thanks to him for what he's done. When we've had just a couple of moments of quiet prayer together, we're going to stay seated and sing, "Thank You for Saving Me." Let's pause. So we reflect on that story of God's redeeming love saving us. But it's bigger than that, isn't it? This is the story of love that shapes the world. I read this quotation from a philosopher very recently in a book I was reading. He said this: neither revolution or reformation can ultimately change a society. Rather, you must tell a powerful tale. One so persuasive that it sweeps away the old myths and becomes the preferred story. One so inclusive that it gathers all the bits of our past and present into a coherent whole. One that even shines some light into our future so that we can take the next step. If you want to change a society, then you have to tell a different story. We don't just have a persuasive tale or a different story to the world, but the story of history, of God and his redeeming love in Jesus that changes lives and society. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story, says the psalm. Reading this psalm made me think of places where the redeemed of the Lord, us as individuals, as a church, as part of the wider church, could tell our story. Maybe let me just throw these out briefly for our continuing prayer and maybe our growing passions. It's going to be great, I hope, to find ways of sharing our stories of what God has been doing in our lives with each other. We've really missed, I've really missed so much of each other not being able to meet over these past months and being behind masks still. And we'll want to find in the coming weeks and months, as maybe we find a little bit more liberation or chance to meet in creative and different ways, of sharing those stories of God's love in our lives to encourage one another. I've been excited over the past couple of weeks actually to hear a few stories at home about the Exodus summer teams who've been away. One example of many is that I'm looking forward later in the summer, and I hope we will all get this chance to hear of their experience of sharing the love of God on the Shankill Road. But we'll all have stories that we may want to share in different ways of what God has been doing in our lives. That's a huge part of what it is for us to be church. But the call is always upon us to share our stories of God's love outside these walls too, that others may consider the great love of the Lord, as the psalmist says. For one, really excited about Sism being back this week, telling the story of Jesus and living for him, that it may shape the lives of children and young people. We're praying for that in a moment or two. We're going to be commissioning the team here tonight, as I said. And next Sunday, we'll be hearing all about that. But even beyond Sism, how do we all engage in sharing our story of God's redeeming love? The psalm also made me think of refugees in our city and the work of things like International Meeting Point that we support and others. People who, a bit like the psalm talks about, have wandered hungry and thirsty, nowhere they could settle. But now God has led them to Belfast. It made me think of people in prison, like in Highbank, just down the road. Captive, and not just within four walls, but needing the redeeming of love of Christ to enter their darkness. And having just spent a week on our holiday near a naval base with my brother-in-law, it made me think of chaplains like him who go out on ships on the mighty waters, as the psalm describes. Chaplains who come along people and come alongside them, sometimes at their wits' end, with the story of God's unfailing love. And of course, when we read of people gathered from east and west and north and south, we may think of sharing God's love across this island and across this world. In countries where we already support things, Kenya, India, Japan. Japan, where people from east and west and north and south are all gathering at the moment for sport, but where there's an even greater story of redemption and victory to tell. I wonder how these stories in this psalm make us think about the need for others to hear and experience and be shaped by the story of God's redeeming love. There's so much we could think about and do if we follow the desire of the psalmist for people to hear and consider the great love of the Lord Jesus. And perhaps we should simply begin again with prayer. Nigel's going to lead us in a moment in praying for a number of things. But let us all also go away and pray about the people and situations God is laying on our hearts through this psalm. And may we also pray that God would so shape us that the stories that we want to share with others, that we long to tell, are of his redeeming love. Nigel, come and lead us in prayer.
Let us pray. God, our Heavenly Father, as we sit right now in this church and come to pray to you, we're challenged about a number of significant things. The first is this period of extreme heat from cloudless skies. And yet that reminds us that we are bathed in the love of God, which is unbroken, never-ending, and reminds us of your glory to us and for us, and of the impact on our lives when we let his love drive us. But we recognize that at times our clouds of doubt and our selfishness often come between us and his love. The second are the stories of redemption and the need to share the redeeming love of God through Christ, on which Ben has just challenged us. We recognize that at times we have wandered away, or have been overcome by darkness and misery, or have been tossed about by the storms of life. And yet we have that wonderful assurance from this psalm that when we cry to God for help, he will hear us. And so we praise him for his wonderful deeds. We pray for those events and people who need our prayers today, who need to feel the love of God and to experience his loving kindness. We think of the family of Jack Crompton, who passed away this week, and also others whom we know who have suffered bereavement and find themselves at times in darkness. May the God of love lead them out of those shadows. We pray for those suffering with terminal illness, those with long-term illnesses, those facing tests, examinations, and surgery. May they know the everlasting presence of God with them on their journey. And we pray for those in the health service, especially those known to us personally, who are under severe pressures, trying to balance COVID and other illnesses. May God give them strength, energy, and clear minds. And we pray for those buffeted by life at present through concerns about employment or family and relationship issues, financial worries, careers, or waiting for examination results. May they know the calming assurance of the Holy Spirit in their lives. And we pray for those disillusioned with life, those struggling with faith, and those filled with fear. May they know the reassurance of a God who loves them and whose everlasting arms surround them. And we pray specifically for those telling the stories of Christ's love for us, especially this week for Newton Breda CSSM, which has had a long and significant impact in children and young people in this area. But Lord, this will be the strangest CSSM ever in terms of arrangements. So we pray for the main leaders, Stephen Patterson and Amy McKee. Give them wisdom, patience, understanding, and give them the leadership gifts which will be needed to face new situations and challenges. And we pray for the members of the team from this church, for Hay Chan, Jack Knox, Phil Dane, Wally McKee, Chloe Compton, Jordan Moore, Kyle Whiteside, Sarah Buchanan, Hannah Buchanan, Johnny Bell, Reuben McKnight, Chris Pollock, and Amy. Help them to be good role models. Give them the right things to say and do as they tell the stories of the Christian faith. Protect them, Lord, from COVID and sickness. And Lord, give them good weather and no wasps, and encourage them daily. And we also pray for Grace McClune, who this week will be a leader with New Irish Youth. God our Father, we pray finally for the wider world in which we live, for those who have suffered in the floods in Europe, in China, and now India. We can't imagine what they face in homes ruined by mud. But we pray for governments and aid and rescue agencies, for those in famines and wars, for Christian Aid, for Tear Fund, and for others seeking to help and to tell the stories of God in the most practical ways. We pray for political leaders in the UK, Ireland, Brussels, and as they deal with major issues such as the protocol and COVID and abortion, give them wisdom and a spirit of reconciliation. At the end of all of this, dear God, may we each be able to write the 2021 version of Psalm 107, stories of personal redemption, where we ask the Lord for help, and where we, each and every one of us, share the glory of his loving kindness through what we say and do. Because we pray in the name of Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.
Nigel, thank you for leading us. We're going to close as we sing and follow on from that prayer. I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Thank you. We'll go out and enjoy the sunshine and maybe out in the car park or out in the garden and enjoy the garden and the fruit it's bearing. But maybe out there you share some stories with each other. But as we go, let's say together the words of the grace. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.
Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. The Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord